All right. Deep dive time, everyone. And let's be honest, today's topic might sound a little, well, dry. Data silos.
Yeah, not exactly the most thrilling headline, is it?
But trust me on this one, it's way more interesting than it sounds. Because we're not just talking about some tech jargon here. We're talking about a problem that affects all of us every single day.
It's the reason we end up wrestling with different systems, never quite getting a clear picture of what's going on.
Exactly. It's like, you know, there's got to be a better way to like connect all this information we're swimming in.
Right, because it's all out there, but it's trapped in these separate little islands. Data silos.
Okay, so can we break that down a bit? For those of us who don't speak fluent data, what exactly is a data silo?
Basically, imagine you've got all this important information, but instead of it being organized in one place, it's scattered across different platforms, different formats, different systems.
Like trying to plan a party, but the guest list is spread across sticky notes, spreadsheets, emails.
Exactly. It's a recipe for disaster. You miss RSVPs, you double book the caterer. It's chaos.
Okay, yeah, that's a recipe for a very stressful party. And I'm guessing in the business world, those data silos lead to more than just a few missed RSVPs.
Oh, absolutely. We're talking missed opportunities, inefficient workflows, bad decisions being made, all because the right data isn't in the right hands at the right time.
So what's the solution? How do we bust down these data silos and unlock all that potential?
Well, that's where things get really interesting. Because what if I told you the key to solving this problem is something you use every single day without even thinking about it?
Wait, are you talking about hyperlinks? Like those things we click on to open web pages?
I got it. The humble hyperlink. It might not seem like much, but those little links have way more power than we give them credit for.
Okay, now you've got to explain this one because I am not seeing the connection between clicking on a link and solving this massive data silo problem. How do we go from like browsing cat videos to seamless data integration?
I know, it sounds crazy, right? But to understand the solution, we first need to understand how we got here. See, the traditional approach to database management systems, or DBMS, actually contributed to this whole data silo mess.
Wait, really? How so?
Well, in the early days, the focus was on creating these incredibly powerful ways to organize data within a single database. And don't get me wrong, that was huge. SQL, for example, is a whole language just for talking to databases. But...
And there's always a but.
But each system, each developer, they kind of develop their own dialect, their own way of doing things.
So it's like we built all these amazing castles, but nobody thought to make doors that connect them.
Exactly. Yeah. So you end up with these data fortresses that can't communicate with each other. And that's a problem because in the real world, information doesn't fit neatly into separate boxes.
Right. It's messy. It's interconnected. It's constantly evolving.
Exactly. And our current systems just aren't built to handle that complexity. And our source material points to three key vectors driving this whole data silo mayhem.
Vectors. Okay, now you're just using big words to make me feel like I'm back in school.
Sorry. Think of them as like the three main forces that are keeping us stuck in data silo land.
All right, I'm listening. Hit me with vector number one.
Vector number one. Our limited thinking about data structures.
Yeah.
We love our neat little tables and rows, right?
Well, they do make things look organized.
Sure, for some things. But it completely ignores the messy, interconnected reality of information. Anything that doesn't fit neatly into that structure, we label as unstructured and basically give up before we even start.
So it's like saying the only real music is classical music just because it fits on sheet music and ignoring everything else.
Exactly. There's a whole universe of data out there that we're ignoring because it doesn't fit our preconceived notions of how it should be organized.
Okay, that's vector one. What about number two?
Vector two. Our reliance on query languages that are too closely tied to those rigid structures. SQL is a powerhouse, don't get me wrong, but try asking it to navigate a web of interconnected ideas. And it's like asking a fish to climb a tree. It's just not built for that.
Okay, I can see how that would be a problem. So we need a tool that's more like a universal translator, something that can understand and connect data no matter how it's organized.
You're on the right track. And this leads us to vector number three, which ironically is the simplest yet perhaps the most profound.
Okay, you're killing me with the suspense here. What's vector number three?
We've become so used to using these literal names like product codes or customer IDs to identify things in our databases. But these names, they only make sense within their own little world.
So what's the alternative?
What if, instead of names, we use references? What if we could point to data, connect it, give it context, all with one elegant tool.
Wait a minute, you're talking about hyperlinks again, aren't you? Okay, I'm starting to see it, but it still feels a bit like magic. How can a simple link do all that?
It might feel like magic, but the power of the hyperlink really is in its simplicity. Think back to, the early 90s, before we had the World Wide Web as we know it.
You mean like the days of floppy disks and dial-up modems? I vaguely remember those.
Yeah, exactly. Back then, if you wanted to share a document with someone digitally, it was a nightmare. You had to make sure they had the exact same software, the same fonts installed, everything.
Oh, yeah, I remember those days. So many compatibility issues.
Right. You could write the most brilliant document, but if the other person couldn't open it, you were out of luck.
It's amazing how far we've come. So how did we escape that tech jungle?
Well, that's when some very smart people came up with the World Wide Web. And at its heart, the web is really just a system for linking documents together, no matter what format they're in.
Ah, so that's where hyperlinks come in.
Exactly. As long as your document had a unique address, a URI, you could link to it. And thanks to HTTP, the language of the web, everyone could access and share those documents without any hassle.
Okay, I'm starting to see the parallel here. Just like the web saved us from document chaos, maybe hyperlinks can do the same for our data chaos.
That's exactly it. And just like those early web pioneers, we're starting to realize that hyperlinks, they aren't just for web pages. They've got these superpowers that can revolutionize how we interact with data in general.
Okay, I'm intrigued. Tell me more about these hyperlink superpowers.
Superpower number one, the ability to name anything. Not just documents, but literally any piece of data you can think of. A customer, a scientific concept, a relationship between two things. If you can think it, you can link it.
So instead of just having, say, a customer ID number trapped in a database somewhere, we could have a hyperlink that points to like a dynamic profile of that customer, pulling information from all sorts of different places.
Exactly. No more logging into 5 different systems just to get a complete picture. It's all right there at your fingertips, connected by that one link.
Okay, that's pretty impressive. But what about context? I mean, it's not just about what we name things. It's about understanding how they're all related.
You're absolutely right. Which brings us to hyperlink superpower number 2, duality of naming.
Duality. Okay, now you're getting a little too philosophical for me.
Sorry. It just means that each hyperlink, it not only tells you what something is, it implicitly connects it to other things.
Okay, I think I get it, but can you give me a concrete example? How does this duality thing play out in real life?
Sure. Imagine you're doing some research online, maybe for a project or just out of curiosity. You come across a research paper, and it mentions a specific gene variant that's linked to, say, a higher risk of a certain disease.
Okay, I'm following so far.
Now, instead of just seeing the name of that gene variant, imagine you can click on a hyperlink. Suddenly, you're not just reading a research paper, you're exploring a whole universe of information about that specific gene variant.
Whoa, hold on. So I click on this gene variant, and what happens? Do I get, like, a whole Wikipedia page just for that gene?
It's even better than that. You might be taken to a page with a detailed breakdown of that gene, its functions, its role in various diseases. You might find links to clinical trials, patient forums discussing their experiences, even research databases with raw genomic data. It's all connected.
Okay, that is seriously cool. It's like going from a single Wikipedia article to the entire Library of Congress in one click.
Exactly.
Ew.
And that's the power of hyperlinks. But of course, with all this interconnectedness, we need to make sure we're all talking about the same thing, especially when you're dealing with, like, gene variants, which can have really complicated names.
Right. You don't want to accidentally end up researching the wrong thing because you clicked on the wrong link. So how do we make sure everything stays accurate and organized?
That's where hyperlink superpower number 3 comes in. Unambiguous naming. We achieve this using something called a fragment identifier.
Fragment identifier? That sounds intimidating.
It's not as scary as it sounds, I promise. It's just a little add-on to a regular URL. You know that hashtag symbol you often see at the end of web addresses?
Oh, yeah, like when a link takes you to a specific section within a long article.
Exactly, that hashtag symbol. That's your fragment identifier. And by adding a unique fragment identifier to the end of a hyperlink, we can pinpoint any piece of data with laser precision, no matter how massive the data set gets.
So it's like a global addressing system for information. Every piece of data gets its own unique coordinate.
You got it. And that's how we made sure that even in this vast interconnected web of data, we can always find exactly what we're looking for. No more ambiguity, no more confusion.
Wow, okay. My mind is officially blown. We've gone from these rigid data silos to a world where everything is connected and every piece of information has its own unique address. And to think, It all started with a simple hyperlink. You know, this reminds me of something we were talking about earlier about building sentences with data using hyperlinks. At first, I'll admit, it sounded kind of out there, but now I'm starting to see how it could work.
Oh, it's not out there at all. Think about how we use language, right? We take these individual words, each one represents a concept, and we connect them to form sentences, to express, like, way more complex thoughts, relationships between things. Hyperlinks, they let us do the same thing, but with data instead of just words.
Okay, I'm with you so far. But how do we actually go from, like, a single link to a whole data sentence? What's that look like?
Let's go back to that gene variant example. So you click that hyperlink, right? And then on that page, you see another link, and it says something like, patients with this gene variant showed a positive response to treatment X. Now, that link, it's not just a random piece of info floating out there. It's directly tied to the gene you are researching. Like, the hyperlink is acting as a verb, connecting the subject, the gene variant, to the object, which is the positive response.
So we're not just pulling up individual facts, we're uncovering how those facts are related to each other, seeing the bigger picture.
Exactly. And the more we connect data using these hyperlinks, the richer that context becomes. It's like, think about the difference between reading a dictionary definition of a word versus, like, really understanding all its nuances, its connotations, how it's used in different sentences, different stories.
So we're moving beyond just, like, database management and into the realm of, like, data storytelling.
That's a great way to put it, because that's what makes it powerful. It's not just about storing data. It's about making it meaningful. But I know what you're thinking. Is this just a theoretical dream? Are there real-world examples of this actually happening?
Yeah, I was going to ask, are there any brave souls out there already diving into this whole hyperlink-driven data world?
Absolutely. This isn't sci-fi. It's already happening. The European Union, for example, they've been at the forefront of this whole movement. They're using something called linked data principles to connect information across all these different areas, government, scientific research, you name it.
So it's not just about making websites easier to navigate. It's about, like, changing how entire institutions operate. That's huge.
Exactly. They've recognized that breaking down those data silos is not just a tech issue. It's crucial for transparency, for collaboration, for making better decisions. And it's not just happening at the government level either. Think about something like medical research, where sharing data is absolutely critical for developing new treatments, you know, cures.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's this organization, Unipro, it's this global group of bioinformatics institutes, and they're using linked data to create this massive, like, interconnected web of information about proteins, literally the building blocks of life.
Okay, now that's what I call ambitious. But what kind of impact is this actually having on, you know, real world research? It's already speeding up discoveries, especially in areas like personalized medicine, drug development. Researchers can now access, analyze all this data from tons of studies, databases, and they're starting to see these connections, these patterns that would have been impossible to spot before. And it's not just about making researchers' lives easier. It's about the potential to directly impact our health, our well-being. Imagine a future where your medical records, they're not just these static documents, they're dynamic profiles connected to the latest research, clinical trials, even support groups for people with similar conditions.
Okay, now you're talking about a healthcare revolution. Mm-hmm. But for our listeners who are, you know, maybe not scientists or policymakers who might be thinking, this all sounds great, but, like, why should I care about hyperlinks and data silos? What would you say to them? I'd say this. Every time you get frustrated because you have to, like, re-enter the same information into a million different forms online, that's a data silo problem. Every time you're trying to find reliable info about a product, a service, and you just can't get a straight answer. Data silos. Feeling overwhelmed by irrelevant search results. Data silos. The hyperlinks, when they're used correctly, they have the potential to fix all of that and basically change how we experience the digital world.
So it's not just about data. It's about making our digital lives, I don't know, easier, more efficient, more meaningful even.
Exactly. It all goes back to this simple yet incredibly powerful tool, the hyperlink. Sometimes the most elegant solutions are the ones that have been right in front of us all along.
That's a great point. This deep dive has really opened my eyes to the power of hyperlinks and how important it is to break down those data silos. We've gone from feeling trapped in this world of information overload to realizing there's a way to make sense of it all, to connect the dots and unlock a whole universe of knowledge. I don't think I'll ever look at a hyperlink the same way again.
Me neither. It's been great diving into this with you.
And a huge thank you to you, our listeners, for joining us on this journey. We hope you've enjoyed this deep dive into the world of data silos and the surprising power of hyperlinks. Until next time, keep exploring, keep connecting, and keep diving deeper.